Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Good to have you with us. As was said in the conversation points this morning, thank you for all of your kindness, support, encouragement, and generosity during Pastor Appreciation Month. It is greatly appreciated, as are you. How many auto racing fans do we have? Okay, those of you that are auto racing fans, you know that there are different kind of races, right? There are long mileage races, like Daytona 500, 500 miles, Indianapolis 500, 500 miles. But then there are also sprint car races, short track, sprint car, fast stuff. So there's distance stuff and sprint stuff. There's open wheel and closed wheel and all that stuff. So there's different types of races. Now, how many of you are like track people? Like literally one person in the room. Track or cross country? One person. Okay, well, this whole message is going to fall completely flat because no one's interested in track. So there are different types of races. There are sprints and there are distance races. Now, why anyone would ever participate in a distance race, I have no idea. But there are different types of runners. There are sprinters, and there are distance runners, and they are very, very different from each other. So one thing that I think is true, though, is that when certain athletes enter into a race, some of them enter into the race with the expectation that they're going to win. Others enter the race not with the expectation that they're going to win, but that they're going to finish. Now that for me would be in the distance thing. I would enter never expecting to win, just praying to God that I finish. And that would just be in the 400 meter, which is one lap around the track. That to me would be a distance race. These people that do 1600, 3200, the marathons, those people just have something wrong with them somewhere. So anyway, and some people enter. I would venture to say that every athlete that enters the race with the expectation of running the race well and finishing well, of just simply doing their best to finish the race well and to have run a good race. Make sense? Okay, so all of you that have no interest in track, you're going to have to bear with us the rest of the time, because the early church leader Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, part of what he writes is about how to run well and live well and finish well as a follower of Jesus. He used a lot of different analogies when he wrote. He would use an agricultural analogy, an architectural, a military illustration. In this particular instance, he uses an illustration from the world of athletics, specifically in the area of track. So hang with us today as we do this. Here's how he starts. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. These things are what he had written about previously in the letter about what it means to be made right and live right with God. He says, I'm not saying that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus possessed me. So when Paul writes this, he has come a long way from when he was a Jewish religious leader persecuting followers of Jesus. He has come a long way from when he personally encountered the resurrected Jesus on one of the trips to persecute followers of Jesus, when he was on the road to Damascus and he personally encountered Jesus. He has come a long way from traveling the region, inviting people as follower of Jesus, inviting people to follow Jesus, after having spent 2 to 3 years preparing and training and studying and learning. The reason that he had come such a long way is because of the hold that Jesus had him, the possession that Jesus had acquired for him, the possession that Jesus had possessed him for. So here's a question for people like us. What hold, what type of hold does Jesus have on us who are followers of Jesus? Does he have the type of hold where we are willing to come a long way from where we've been, where we are willing to put in the time and energy and effort to prepare and learn? And are we willing to go and invite people to follow Jesus? Does he have that kind of hold on us that we would want that same hold to be for other people? Does the hold, that should be hold, not old, for which Jesus, whoever did this, when? I did it. Does the hold for Lexi? Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Lexi's home from college again. Hey, Hunter, how many times have you been here with her? Three or four? Okay, just so you know, when you get to six, then I stop doing the 6-7 thing. The boys are behind going, 6-7, 6-7, 6. If you have no idea what 6-7 is, don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. So just so you know, when you hit the six mark, then I pick on you too. So does the whole, I won't pick on you. That may not be true. Does the hold for which Jesus has taken hold of us move us to know him more and follow wholeheartedly? What Paul was saying was, I have not attained these things. I have not achieved everything. There is still much more for me to attain and much more for me to obtain. But I am wholeheartedly committed. I am all in on what Christ has possessed and for the reason he has possessed me. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Our daughter Danielle has run track since she was in middle school. Actually, we knew that she was probably going to gravitate to track or some type of racing athletic career when she was in elementary school. They would have field day, and she would run, and she would love the sprint races at field day, and she would consistently beat all the boys. Now I just like that she beats all the boys and tell her to keep running from the boys, stay in front of the boys, always run in front of the boys, never let them catch you. So she would consistently beat the boys at field day to the point that they would no longer want to race her and all that. So she's run since middle school. And we have a lot of pictures from her track career. She's currently running. Actually, she's currently rehabbing in Huntington at Huntington University on their track team and all of that. And so she's continuing her athletic career at Huntington. But we have a lot of pictures of her. And in many of those pictures, you can see just this intently focused look of what lies ahead. This intently focused look of the finish line. And when Danielle is running, Gary, good morning, how you doing? So, hey, just so you know, I did that to you because I did it to Lexi when she walked in, and so I didn't want her to feel unique. When Danielle is running focused on the finish line, she does not look back at where she's come from. She does not look back to the starting line. She does not look back at any point in between, because if she were to look back, it would throw her off stride, throw her off balance, and it would compromise her pace in the race. So she doesn't look back. Now, for people like us, sometimes we spend a lot of time looking back. Sometimes we spend a lot of time living in the past, looking back at our failures and living in our failures and never being able to move on towards the finish line because of our failures. Sometimes we look back in the past and we continue to live in our glory days. That things now aren't like they were. Back then things were so good and now they're not. And we spend so much time looking back that we've taken our eyes off the finish line, which is still what's in front of us and is still what God is calling us to through Christ Jesus. It is important to know where we've come from. It is important to learn from our past mistakes. It is important to celebrate our great failures. But we must not spend all of our time so focused on the past that we lose our balance and we compromise our pace in pursuing the heavenward calling that God has for us. When Danielle is laser focused on the finish line, she does not look around to see and compare where she is in relationship to others. This for us as parents is such a cool thing when she's in first place. You know, when you're in second or third or fourth, you can see who's in front of you and you can compare yourself to them. But when she is in first place and she's laser focused on the finish line, she doesn't spend her time looking around and comparing herself to where anybody else is in the race. Because again, if she were to start looking around and comparing herself to where she was in relationship to others in the race, she would throw herself off balance, she would break stride, and she would compromise her pace in the race. Anytime Denise and I are at track meets and we watch and we start seeing the runner in full sprint start going like this, we're like, don't look back, just finish the race. Don't compare yourself to where anybody else is. Just keep going. Keep focused on the finish line. For us, a lot of us spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to others. I may not be as good as this person, but at least I'm not as bad as this person. And if I'm not as good as that person, but not as bad as that person, maybe I stand some chance of getting myself into God's good graces because of how I compare to others. Here's the deal. The finish line is the finish line. And it's the same finish line for everyone, no matter how good they've been, no matter how bad they've been. We do not get into God's good graces because of any good works or any bad works that we have done. We get into God's good graces because of God's good grace. Period. And so we do not need to spend our time comparing ourselves to everyone else. We need to spend our time focused on the finish line and running the race that God has laid out for us towards that finish line. Paul says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. In the first century church at Philippi, there were still those who were holding. There was a group known as Judaizers, and they were still trying to convince people that you needed to be made right with God through Jesus plus the law. And Paul is saying here, if you still believe that it's Jesus plus the law, I believe that God will make it clear to you that it is only through grace, by faith, by placing trust in Jesus, that we are made right with God. There was another group known as antinomians. The antinomians believed that the finish line was a life of unbridled indulgence, that the freedom that came in relationship with Jesus by placing our trust in Jesus basically meant that we could live any way we wanted, and you pursued life in all of its fullness to the point of unbridled indulgence. And Paul is saying, if at some point you still believe that following Jesus and the freedom that comes from Jesus ends in a life of unbridled indulgence, that I believe that God will make it clear to you that sin always breaks relationship with God. There were some in the Greco-Roman culture who continued to follow the pursuits of the Greco-Roman belief system with no consideration for God. And Paul is saying, if you still believe that the path to right relationship, the path to anything beyond this world is a path of a polytheistic belief where you believe in many different gods, I believe that God is going to make it plain to you that there is one true God. And that it is that one true God that has mapped out the race for you and is going to call you home and call you heavenward through Christ Jesus. He says, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. One of the races, Danielle's favorite race is the 200. But one of her other favorites that she runs is the 4x100 relay. And when her team runs the 4x100 relay, the person who starts the race starts at the starting line in the starting blocks. The person who runs the second leg of the race goes to the second turn of the track. The person who runs the third goes to the third, and the anchor goes to the fourth turn. Throughout the race, as the first person goes and leaves the starting blocks, and they run past the first turn into the second turn, the baton gets passed. 1, 2, 3, 4. And each person runs about 100 meters of the race for a complete 400-meter race, 4x100. If the finish line is the 400-meter mark, and if each girl had to start there, no one would ever make it past the second turn. If they abandoned the progress they made 100 meters at a time and just simply started back at zero, they would only get to the 100-meter mark ever. Each girl would have run 100 meters, but they as a team would have never gotten to the finish line. They needed to hold on to the progress that they made 100 meters at a time. And we must hold on to the progress that we have already made in relationship with God, which does mean learning our lessons from the past, celebrating our greatest victories, knowing where we stand in relationship with God, but always focused on the finish line. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Now remember, Paul has already said, I have not achieved all these things. I have not attained all these things. And I am not perfect. So Paul isn't writing this letter while standing there screaming, look at me, look at me, look at me. What he's saying is that I am wholeheartedly following Jesus. And in my best efforts to follow Jesus to the best of my ability, that is worth emulating. Emulate my belief in pursuing the race to the best of my ability and the finish line of being focused on the finish line. And there are others in the church at Philippi who are following this example. Learn from them. Learn what it means to be pursuing the race and running the race that God has called you to do. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, there are people who say they are following Jesus, but their conduct clearly shows that they are in opposition to Jesus. Again, the two groups that may be in view here are the Judaizers and the Antinomians. If the Judaizers, they came behind Paul. As Paul traveled the region, they would come behind Paul and they would tell everyone that Paul's message of grace was good, but not enough. That it was Jesus plus the law. And the Antinomians were on the exact opposite to the unbridled indulgence part. And Paul says that if there is a message being communicated or a life being lived that doesn't align with being made right with God, by grace, through faith, and placing trust in Jesus, then it is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Then he goes on to say, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. So if he is talking about the Judaizers, part of the law for them would have been the dietary restrictions in the Jewish law. And so if they were still holding to the dietary restrictions, then their God is their appetite. The dietary restrictions have replaced God as the primary point. If he's talking about the antinomians, it is clearly the unbridled indulgence. Gluttony was a part of the Greco-Roman culture, and the wording here involves even something beyond gluttony. And so they brag, they brag about shameful things. If he's talking about the Judaizers, they would have still held to the Jewish rite of circumcision. And if circumcision was no longer required to be made right with God, then it would be shameful to put people through something like that if there was no spiritual or medical or legitimate reason to do so. If he's talking about the antinomians, he's talking about the lifestyle of unbridled indulgence with all of its pursuits in every way imaginable. And they think only about this life here on earth. So they are concerned most importantly with the temporal earthly things, which we can't say are not important, right? They are important. They do matter. And the pursuits that we have in this earth matter. But the pursuits of this earth, the temporal earthly things, are not the finish line. They're a part of the race. And how we run the race matters. But how we finish the race matters as well. And he's saying focus on the eternal things and not just the things of this earth. They are headed for destruction. Those people that pursue things in this vein are headed for destruction, a life separated from relationship with God. And then he goes on to say, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. So Philippi was a Roman colony. As a Roman colony, every person who lived and was born in Philippi would have been considered a Roman citizen. Now, many of them had never been to Rome, so they understood what it was like to live as a citizen of Rome without ever having been to Rome. That becomes very, very important because Paul says, we are citizens of heaven. We live here on this earth, and we've not ever been to heaven, so what does it mean to live in a place here as a citizen of some place you've never been? And the Philippians understood this. They knew what it was like to live as a citizen of Rome without ever having been to Rome. They were very proud of their Roman citizenship. They were very proud of the benefits and perks that came from being a Roman citizen. Paul himself was a Roman citizen. Paul actually leveraged his Roman citizenship when he appealed to go to trial before Caesar. And Paul says, we are citizens of heaven. And so we live here in this place as citizens of some place we've never been. We live as citizens of heaven. And as we do that now, one commentator put the eagerly waiting is with tiptoe anticipation. We wait with tiptoe anticipation for Jesus to return as our Savior. And then he says, he will take our weak mortal bodies. And there's another translation that says our bodies of humiliation. We live now in what are referred to as bodies of humiliation because of how sin broke the world and how sin broke things that God has intended, including our bodies. We have mortal bodies, weak mortal bodies, and change them into glorious bodies. There will come a day where this weak mortal body will give way to the glorious body, like the body of Jesus, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. There will come a day where we will no longer live in bodies of humiliation. There will come a day where we will live in a glorious body, like Jesus' own body. And in the meantime, And there will come a time where Jesus will put everything under his control. And until that time, why don't those of us who are followers of Jesus just live under his control to begin with? There are different kinds of races. There are sprints and there are distant runners. And there are different kinds of runners. There are those who are sprinters and those who are distance runners. And there are different types of forms of running and different types of all sorts of things that you consider in how the race is run. But the reality is, for every runner in a race, there is one finish line. And they, to be the most successful in the race they can, need to stay focused on the finish line. Not to say that all the other things in between are important. Not to say that their form isn't important. Not to say that not looking back isn't important. Not to say any of that. But the most effective race is to run focused on the finish line. And Paul said earlier, I know one thing. I forget what is past, and I focus on what is ahead. The finish line for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The finish line is one of redemption and freedom for anyone who places their trust in Jesus. If we stay focused on the finish line, the race itself can be a race of redemption and freedom. Let me pray for you this morning. Dear God, every one of us, whether we realize it or not, is in the race. We are in the race that we know as life. And though there are some of us whose life is like a sprint, and others whose life is like a distance marathon, there is for each of us one finish line. Help each of us to figure out how to run the race well, and how to focus on the finish line, for having been made right with you, to live right with you as followers of Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.